Here is our King, He is our love, He is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, He is Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
How you guys doing? Good. So tonight, I have a sermon that I believe is very, very helpful. And I don't know, I kind of like it when it works out like that, right? So I want you to make sure that you take tonight's word and jot down whatever it is that hits you, whatever it is that God has been speaking to you already. I think that sometimes we show up to church and we watch church online, and we might be hearing the same thing we've been hearing in the last few weeks. That's not a coincidence. That's not just something that happens. That's something that God does. And so tonight, if you hear something, it sticks out, write it down. There's a reason for it. And let's think about how we can apply it to our lives. It's funny, I was thinking backstage right before I came out here about, I had my second daughter was born last November, and November 8th. And I remember, you know, as we brought her home, even the first night, it was really rough. She is definitely not laid back like me. I'm actually not that laid back, apparently. I thought I was, but I'm not. And so she must take after me, but she was up pretty much all night, every night for like 2 months straight. And so my wife and I had zero sleep, hardly any sleep. We had sleep. I mean, I slept more than my wife, but you know, it was rough. And I remember thinking around the end of February that things started to get better. And I remember thinking, phew, thank God I'm out of that difficult season of my life. And then March happened, right? And then April. And it's just been a heck of a year ever since. And so one of the things that, it would be really sad and depressing if I stood up here and told you all the struggles I've had this year. But it's been rough. It's been tough. It's been difficult mentally. It's been difficult spiritually. It's been difficult physically. And so I felt a couple months ago that we needed to get back to what I was going to say are basics. But then I thought, you know what? That's not really the right term for this. The right term is crucial practice. How many of you guys know that it doesn't take a PhD to drink a glass of water? It doesn't take a PhD to drink a glass of water, but if you don't do it, you're going to die, right? And people, they have criticized our church before and said, hey, VBF doesn't teach, they just teach the basics. They just teach the simple things. And I take that as a compliment, because I think that we not only teach the simple basic things, or the crucial things is what I like to say, we also practice them, and we also learn to walk them. I have two hobbies that I really enjoy doing. One is riding motorcycles. I picked up a new dirt street bike this year, and I love riding it. It's super fun. When I was a little kid, my dad bought me a little 50 motorcycle when I was a little guy, you know, and ever since then, I've been hooked on motorcycles. I love motorcycles, and there was a gap in my life where I didn't have a motorcycle, and I was super sad, but I know how to ride motorcycles now today. I can do it safely because I learned the basics of it. I learned the crucial parts of the motorcycle. I learned how to ride it. I learned how to rev the gas, how to stay on, how to balance myself, all these things. And so now I'm able to enjoy it and have fun. Another hobby that I enjoy doing is I like photography. I like shooting photos. And when I first picked up a professional type camera, like a DSLR, I had no idea how to use it. And so I had to ask for help, and I had to get people. There were certain people. Scott Garcia was one, and we went to a couple conferences, read a few books. This was before like YouTube was what it is now, and you can kind of learn to do anything. But I finally learned how to use the camera properly. And when I learned how to use it properly, it made all the difference in the world. And so I don't see it any differently when we look at the Bible, when we look at Scripture, and we think about our walks with God. if we learn the crucial practices and we learn how to walk in these practices, our whole life is going to be a lot more enjoyable. It's going to be not always fun, but there's going to be an excitement, right? There's an excitement when you learn how to do something, then you can start practicing it. You can start putting it into practice. They call doctors practitioners, right? Because they practice medicine. And I think in the same way, we are practitioners of spirituality. We are practitioners of the word. And so when we leave here tonight, we leave our rooms and we leave this place, we need to understand that we are walking out into the world and we must practice what we are learning. We must practice what we are teaching. We must practice these things. And I've already done this teaching, a part one. So it's actually crucial practice, walking by the Holy Spirit, part two. Part one was, I believe, October 4th, so you can go back and listen to that if you'd like to listen to that. It's a different teaching. That teaching was focused on the book of Acts, chapter 2, which is actually in our devotions today. It's actually our reading for today. So if you're not following the devotions on a daily basis with the church, you can do that easily. We have bookmarks in the foyer. If you want to come down here and grab a bookmark, you can do that. If you want a physical bookmark, or if you want to read it online, you can just go to vbf.org and scroll down to the bottom, and it says Bible Study Guide. You click there. It's a little PDF. You can save it if you have a smartphone, and you'll know. But Acts 2 was that teaching, and it was really a good teaching, so I encourage you to go back to that. And then a month ago in October, I talked about, I had a message called Regardless of the Outcome, and it was the day after we all voted for who we thought should be president, and I remember saying, my whole sermon was, regardless of the outcome, we're going to serve God, because our serving God is more important than politics, right? And so if you want to go back and listen to that, the reason I mentioned those two messages are because this message I kind of pulled from both of those messages. And I'm going to start in the book of 1 Kings tonight, which is where I ended that last message, regardless of the outcome. And so that's where we're going to start, 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to go ahead and pray. And I like Tom's prayer when he was doing announcements. He prayed that you would be anointed. A lot of times we pray that the speaker is anointed, right? And that's great. I want to be anointed. I want to speak what God wants me to speak. But ultimately, you got to be anointed too to hear what God wants you to hear. And so it seems to work best that way when we're all surrendered. We just had worship time. If we aren't in the right frame of mind still, then let's just get there. Let's get there right now. And let's say this, Father, we thank you. Holy God, you are huge. You are massive. You are the most powerful God. You are the most powerful being in the universe and beyond. But you're also our Father. And Lord, that I have a hard time comprehending why you, the most famous and the biggest and the brightest and the best, would love us, Lord, when you know us, but you do. And I thank you for that. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill our hearts tonight. I pray that you would empty our hearts of the things that need to be taken away. And I pray that you'd fill our hearts with the right thoughts, the right ideas, the right emotions. And I pray that you'd speak to us and show us exactly what you want to speak to us. Give us a calm mind. Give us an ability to hear clearly what you're saying. And then give us the courage, Father. Give us the courage to go out and live it. Give us the courage to practice what we are learning tonight. All of us. And let that change our lives, and let that change the lives of the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is about a man named Elijah. And I'm going to actually turn there in my Bible, old school status here. Let's see. 1 Kings. Okay, there we go. 19. Verse 9. Now, what's going on here, quick recap, Elijah has called fire out of heaven. He has basically shown that God is God and the prophets of Baal are not legit. And so he had a big showdown. He said, "We're gonna have a sacrifice. We're gonna call fire out of heaven, and whoever's God comes through, that's the true God." And so the prophets of Baal, they tried and tried, and they cut themselves and did weird things, and nothing happened, right? And so Elijah comes out and he prays to God. And the fire comes down, and they all realize that God is God. Then Elijah is like vindicated, and he ends up killing all these prophets. Well, some of these prophets were ran by a lady named Jezebel, and Jezebel was a bad lady. She was crazy. She was like a gangster lady. She was like a Harley Davidson riding, you know, scary woman. And she must have been scary enough because poor Elijah was scared to death of her. So when she found out what he's doing, she got mad. She went after him, and he's running. He's running away. He's in fear. Now, there are two reasons, I think, that we run away in life. And maybe some of you guys are listening to this tonight. You're here. You're online. And you've been running away from God. But for some reason, you're listening to this. And maybe that some reason is because God wants you to. He set it up. Maybe somebody invited you. I don't know. But there are two reasons that we run from God that I can think of. One is fear. And there's more reasons, but these are the two I want to focus on. One is fear, okay? And the other is shame. Fear, shame. Disbelief would also be on there, but I'm going to focus on these two. Fear and shame. Now, Elijah was running out of fear, not fear of God, but fear of man, fear of woman, to be specific, right? So he's running away, and he runs really far into the wilderness, and he ends up in a cave. Sometimes when you run away, you end up in a cave. You end up alone, isolated, by yourself. The devil wants us all to be isolated. The devil all wants us to be alone in a cave by ourselves, feeling sorry for ourselves. That's what the devil wants. He likes us there. He does not like us around other believers and other people that are going to encourage us and kick us in the pants a little, right? So Elijah's in the cave by himself. 1 Kings 19:9 says this. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. He was running, but God chased him, right? So very interesting. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, and killed thy prophets with thy sword, and I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away." In other words, he's saying, I've done all the things that I'm supposed to do. I've done the right things, yet I am still in danger. So he said, God said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by. And so as he's standing out there, this is what happens. It says, "A great strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord." So a really strong wind came while he stood out there. How many of us would think, that's God? That must be God. He told me to stand out here. Strong wind. It's crazy. It's scary. That must be God. But it says, "The Lord was not in the wind." And after the wind, an earthquake. How many of us would think, oh man, the earth is shaking. God is putting the fear of him inside of me. Must be God. This is scary, right? It says, "But the Lord was not in the earthquake." And after the earthquake, a fire. At this point, you got to be thinking, what? Strong wind, earthquake, fire, all these loud things happening. It says, "But the Lord was not in the fire." And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. Calmness. After all these loud things, there's a calm breeze. Whew. Right? It says, "And it came about when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" So this story is interesting for lots of reasons. One is we see Elijah and he's running from God, and you don't expect God to show up, but he does. He follows Elijah and says, what are you doing here, right? And then we see God put on this kind of show. I think God caused the loud winds and the fire and the earthquake. And I think what he was showing Elijah is that he's in charge of everything. He's powerful, but he's also very calm. He's also going to take care of you. There's so many loud things that happen in our lives, right? Like, just, I'm sure if we stop right now and just think, what is the loudest thing going on in our lives right now? What is the loudest event happening in our lives right now? Think about what that is. Well, God's not in that, probably. He's probably in the quiet breeze behind that, right? But he's so powerful that he can handle any of that. So we basically see God's character here. And I just wanted to show that because basically, when we look at the Old Testament, we don't live by the Old Testament, right? We live by the New Testament. Our way of living is by the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, we're able to see God's character. And we're able to see that God is good, that he's gentle, and that he loves us. And the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about tonight. And the Holy Spirit is that way. So many times in our lives, there's so many loud things. There's so many crazy things going on. But yet, he's that gentle, consistent breeze, reminding us of the things that are important. Right? How many of us think that, you know, the earthquake's going to get us? We think the fire is going to get us? Whatever it is in your life, this big, giant thing, we just know it's going to get us. How many of you guys know people that are always freaked out about something? They're always nervous about something. They're always telling you what's going to kill them. Right? All these loud things, and you end up either becoming cynical, thinking, like the boy who cried wolf, nothing's going to kill me, or you become anxiety-driven, where you agree and you think everything's going to get you. But yeah, here we are, 2020, right? It's December of 2020. This year's almost over, thank God, right? And you know what's crazy about it? We're still here, right? We're still here. It's been a loud year. A lot has happened, but we are still here. So I wanted to show you God's character in the Old Testament. And now we're going to go over to the New Testament, and we're going to focus on two passages. Romans 7 and 8 is one passage, some verses, and then the other one is Galatians 5. And we're going to talk about what it means, what it actually means to walk by the Spirit, okay? So this is very practical spirituality, but it's also something that most of us miss because we don't think about it. How many of us know that sometimes we get so deep in the Word and so deep into study and so deep into theology and all these things, we forget the basics of actually walking, right? The basics of actually doing it. And I got to get away from that word basic, crucial, the crucial parts, right? So Romans 7:14 is where we're going to start, and we're just going to read, and I'm going to comment on the verses, so kind of a Bible study format tonight. So what time is it? 7:35. You guys in it to win it tonight? All right, cool. I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't mean we're going to be here a long time. It just means we got a lot of information, so I'm going to go kind of fast, but we'll work it out. Okay, so Romans 7:14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage of sin." So with this first verse, we have Paul, who would have followed the Levitical law, okay? He would have followed the Levitical law. I'm not going to read it, but in Leviticus, if you just thumb through Leviticus and start reading different things, it's really interesting. It seems... a little odd, to put it lightly. But if you go over to Israel today, if you go to Jerusalem, you'll see men walking around with hats on, and they have long sideburns, and they have black suits. And these men are focused on this Levitical law, and they're focused on what it means to follow it. But just a real quick idea of what I'm talking about. Leviticus 11 is a list of animals that you're allowed to eat versus the animals you're not allowed to eat. There's a list here, okay? So in verse 3 it says, whatever divides a hoof, thus making split hoofs, and chews the cud, that you may eat. So hoofed animals that chew cud, okay? How many of you guys know, can think of a hoofed animal that chews cud? Like a cow, right? A cow, deer, elk, right? You can eat those things. But you're not allowed to eat camels. You're not allowed to eat rock badgers. No rabbits, no pigs. You can't even touch a pig's carcass. You'll be unclean if you do. It was funny because I did this same kind of teaching in college group a couple weeks ago. And I talked about the unclean women, and if they have their period, you can't touch them, and you can't touch anything that they've touched, and it's like a whole thing. So there's all these crazy laws. I know this sounds horrible, right? But these are actually written in the Bible. This is why, if in case you guys are wondering, we just skipped Leviticus in our Bible study guide. This is why. Because it's like monotonous, it's crazy, and it's weird. But it's important for us to understand that Paul and Jesus and Peter and John and all these people, they all followed the law. They were all good Jews, and they knew this law well, and they followed the law. And so when Paul says in Romans 7:14, when he says the law is spiritual, what he's really saying is that all these crazy rules that were written in the Old Testament were written because they had a spiritual effect on the people. So basically, what I think you could say from this is the things that we do on the outside, the external things, the surfacey things, our behaviors, that affects our spirit somehow, right? It affects our spirit. What happens on the surface affects underneath. And I would say that your spiritual state also affects your behaviors. It also affects whether you are doing right in life or whether you're not doing right in life. And so he's talking about the law and it having a spiritual effect, but we have flesh, right? We have skin and bones. We have these minds that wander. We have stomach issues. Did you guys know that the bacteria in your stomach actually affects like what you think about? Like it actually affects how you think. It affects like, there's all these crazy things. Our bodies are these intricate systems, and they're so weird and so strange, and they are so at war with our spirit, right? And so that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the difference between trying to follow and do what's right in our spirit versus what your body wants to do, right? It's like, I'm going to pray for 3 hours. Oh, but I'm hungry. You got the law, and you got the spirit of the law, and then you got the flesh, and it's this battle. So Paul goes into this battle, and I'll just read it, and we'll stop when we need to stop. So verse 15 says, "For that which I'm doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate." Has anybody ever been there? You want to do something, but you can't do it. You don't want to do something, and you do it, right? What's going on? What's going on is there's an internal battle. There's a spiritual self, an inner self that wants what's right, that wants to be connected with God, but then we have these bodies that are like, no, I want to do this. I feel this way, so I want to do this. Verse 16 said, "But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the wishing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which indwells in me." Verse 21 says, "I find then the principle that evil is present in me." If there's an evil inside of me, the one who wishes to do good. So he's talking about this juxtaposition, this difference between the inner man who wants to do good, but yet there's this evil inside of him, and there's a battle going on, right? Verse 22 says, "For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." You know, it's funny. I always wonder why people fight with each other. Who has the time to fight with other people when you are so busy fighting with yourself? Right? Like, do we have that much time? Do we have that much time to like set everyone in the world straight? Right? When you're on the freeway and somebody cuts you off, do you have time to follow them for 5-6 miles? No, you don't. You don't, because you're fighting the battles within yourself. Verse 24 says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Who can set me free? Who can help me, right? It says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." And then in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, There's therefore, because of Jesus, not because of him, but because of Jesus, not because of us, but because of Jesus, there's no condemnation for us. Right? There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. And verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." We are free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You are free. Completely free. The idea is, and I've said it before recently, is that you were in chains and you were shackled to sin and you had this flesh that was in full control, right? You were out of control. You had no self-control. You were stuck, but then you give your life over to Jesus. You get the Holy Spirit in your life. Those chains are broken. All you have to do is walk away. That's it. Just walk away. It's that simple. It really is, honestly, that simple. This is why most people miss it and struggle, because they don't understand it, because it's so simple. It's literally just walk. People think I must have to do more. I must have to do 50 Hail Marys, right? I must have to take communion every day. I must have to pray. I must have to do something, right? There has to be something I can do. But the thing is, it's a free gift. There's nothing that we can do other than receive it. That's our act, is receiving it. It says, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." Now I'm getting to the good part here, okay? And in order, it's all good, but this is like the meat of what we're talking about. The meat, okay? So don't tell anybody otherwise. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5 says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Okay? So, if you guys want to know how to walk by the Spirit, okay? If I were to walk up to you and say, "Hey, have you been walking in the Spirit lately?" Some of us would have weird ideas, right? We would think of somebody meditating on a mountain, right? Or we would think of somebody that's like a fiery preacher, like walking by the Spirit, or somebody that's raising people from the dead. But Paul simplifies it so much in this verse 5, 8:5. If you want to know how to walk in the Spirit, it's right here in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5. It says, "Set your minds on the things of the Spirit instead of the things of the flesh." Again, elementary, but extremely powerful. It's like drinking water. It's like drinking water. Doesn't take a PhD to drink a glass of water, but if you don't, you'll die. If you walk in the Spirit, your mind will be set on life and peace. But if you walk in the flesh, verse 6 is what it says. I reversed it. "For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace." That word life is Zoe life, and it means inner life, like your inner man, your spiritual life. How many of you guys have ever felt like your heart's beating and you have blood flowing through your body and you're actually physically alive, but you feel dead inside? Have you guys ever felt that way? Versus living for God and giving over everything to him, we feel completely alive inside. We're not perfect, but we feel alive inside. And that's the idea here, right? It says I'm going to move on to Galatians here in a second, but real quick, let's focus on the things of the Spirit. I wrote a couple things down. Like, what if you're going to set your mind on the things of the Spirit? What are the things of the Spirit? Okay, what are they? I think it's really simple. I think we overcomplicate these things. Obviously, God, Jesus, the church, which is God's bride, thinking of the church, thinking of the people in your life, worshiping, thinking about worship and doing the act of worship, praying, All these things are thinking about spiritual things. I had a conversation with a friend this morning who's going through a really difficult time. And we'll talk about really heavy things, and then we'll talk about lighter things, and talk about heavy things, and we'll talk about lighter things. And I stopped and I thought, you know, it's going to be cool in 1,000 years when we have another conversation we think about today. Because we're going to be in heaven together. Someday we're going to be in heaven together in 1,000 years. How many of us are thinking that far ahead, 1,000 years? How many of you guys have a hard time thinking a week ahead, right? I get it. But we're actually going to be together in heaven. And thinking about those things puts us in the right state of mind. So we're going to turn really quickly and finish this out in Galatians 5, 16 through 25. And I got to kind of hurry. 5:16 says, but I say, this is Paul also writing, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So think of the things of the Spirit, right? Discipline your mind, choose to think about the right things, and you won't do the wrong things. It's that simple. It's that simple. I used to do an analogy and I couldn't find one, but you know those like little like Bozo the Clown punching bags that kids have, or it's like a toy. You hit it and it comes back, you hit it, it comes back. I used to do an analogy about sin, about how like when we're over there fighting sin, we're trying really hard not to do the thing that we know we shouldn't do. We're over there fighting. We punch it. We give him a good punch, and he falls down and comes back up. We give him another punch. He falls down, gets back up. We're just fighting. And all the while, we are distracted from the beautiful blessings that God has over here for us. If we would just stop fighting and stop trying to not do bad things, and we would walk, pulpit. I literally said, excuse me, the pulpit. But we'd walk over here and do the right things, right? Then we are giving ourselves healthy distractions, and we're going to actually stop sinning because we're doing the right thing. It's really simple psychology, and it's really all in the Bible, right? It's here. It's crazy. There's behavioral psychologists that are just figuring this stuff out. It's been in the Bible all along. So 17 says, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition. We know this. It says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Okay? The deeds of the flesh, they're evident. I'm going to read them real quick. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And now what's interesting about this list that Paul gives us is he's basically giving us a list of things that we have, the states of mind and actions where we have zero control. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a state of sin before where you literally felt like you had zero control of yourself. But that's what he's talking about. You have no control. And that's a horrible place to be. That really is bondage. That really is not a good place to be. And you'll get there if you focus your mind on those things. What you look at, you will want. What you think about, you will want. You will be drawn to, right? And so if you do that, if you focus on the wrong things, you're going to be in a place where you have zero control. But in verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit, which is the opposite, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. So if you're living by the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about making God happy or following rules. What you need to, if you live by the Spirit, you are automatically going to have the result of these fruits. Fruit is a result. Like a tree, you plant a tree and you give it the right nourishment, you give it sunlight, you give it water. What happens? Fruit just produces. And it's the same way. If you walk by the Spirit, if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, and then there's a second part to that, of walking by the Spirit. First, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Second, follow where He leads you. Follow where he tells you to go or what he has you do. And it's very simple stuff. I'm talking about like waking up in the morning and you sit down and you read your word and God gives you a thought of somebody that he wants you to pray for. You follow him and all of a sudden you're walking by the Spirit. You call this person up and then they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you were thinking of me. And you're like, wow, this is weird. This is amazing. What's happening is the Holy Spirit's working in your life. And you start living like that and it's amazing. And the automatic fruit of this is that you're going to be more loving and you're going to be more patient. You're going to be kinder. And you know what? People are going to start liking you more. You'll probably start looking better to them. You'll probably, if you're single, you'll probably get a mate, right? Like you'll probably get friends. It sounds like an infomercial now, right? But it is. I mean, you start living by the Spirit. My friend of mine that works here at the church was asking me, he's like, where's the common ground between freedom and holiness? And I'm like, well, we haven't actually talked about this yet, but I thought about it. And I think freedom is holiness. Holiness is freedom, right? I think it's the same thing. When you give everything over to God, you are saying, hey, Lord, I'm giving you everything here. And in turn, use me. In turn, I'm yours. I'm part of your crew. Let's do this. And God's like, okay, I'm going to show you what real life is. I'm going to show you what real internal peace is, what real love is, what real kindness is. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness. I don't even know what goodness really is, but it sounds nice. Right? I guess it's just being good. But these are the fruits of the Spirit, right? And then it goes on and it says, now, verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul just keeps hammering this in. The flesh is dying. The flesh is dead. You are spiritual beings. You are spiritual beings. You are spiritual beings. Okay? That's what he wants you to understand. And in verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, and the word live there is different than Zoe. It's Zayau or something like that. I can't remember. But the idea is that it's physical life. So if you are alive today because of God, if you actually exist because of God, if you're here because of God, why not live by the Spirit? Why not live for God? If he set all this up, then why not walk with them? Right? Why not? The miracle of life is all around us, and God set it up. So we might as well be on his team. We might as well be under his umbrella, right? So that's what it means to walk by the Spirit. Simple, but it's also powerful. So, as I said when I first started, I don't want to just talk about these things. I want to learn about them by putting them into practice. You guys, if this is a photography class, I would hand you all a DSLR camera, and you would go out, and you would know how to shoot photos now. It's not a photography class. We can do that later. But this is a thing that's much bigger than that, right? Teaching you how to actually interact with the living God of the universe. So let's go. Let's think about the things of the Spirit. And let's focus on that. Let's be disciplined people and watch God move in our lives. All right? Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray, I know today was different. Tonight was different. But I pray, Lord, that whatever you want to stick out in our minds from tonight, I pray that we would take it seriously. And I pray that you would confirm the things in our lives that need to be confirmed. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom on the things of our life, the parts of our lives that we need to walk away from. Lord, if there's any sin in our lives, if there's any bad habits in our lives, I pray that we would be released in the Spirit to understand how easy it is to walk away. And that we would call on your Holy Spirit to help us to do that. And then we would walk away. And if we happen to go back, we would walk away again. And if we happen to go back, we would walk away again. And eventually we would walk away forever. I pray for strength, and I pray for passion. I pray for endurance, and I pray for just a heart for you in this place tonight, Lord. And for the people that are listening as well. God, we need you. We need you. And we thank you for being here. And if you want to give your life to the Lord tonight, come up here and talk to me afterwards. If you're online and you want to do that, reach out to us online, and we will help you walk through that. We want to give you guys an opportunity to do that. But amen. We love you guys. I'll see you guys soon.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us a king.